Morning. So excited to be with all of you this morning, and just really excited to dig into God's precious word. Isn't it awesome to serve God? Isn't it awesome just to be his servant and to glorify his name? It's such a joy, isn't it? And so praise God for that. I just want to say I'm really thankful to have this opportunity this morning to share from God's word with all of you. And, you know, it's not easy to pick a topic. You pray about picking a topic that really would bring honor and glory to the Lord, and also remind us of how important it is to serve the Lord in all that we do. And so if we can turn to Matthew chapter 28, just to have our passage of focus for this morning. Matthew chapter 28. And while you're turning there, we can just open up with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless this time this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for this opportunity to serve you and glorify your name. We're thankful again for what you're doing around the world, and we're thankful for this morning for what you're doing around here as well. God, we're so thankful for this opportunity you've given us to open your beautiful word, to open the word of God, and to learn from your word. And so, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to dig into your word, and we pray this morning that you would be glorified and that what is said and heard this morning would bring honor and glory to your name. So thank you, Lord, for your great love, and thank you again for this topic that we're going to be looking at this morning. And we're thankful again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who modeled the perfect life and gave us the perfect example to follow. And we're thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross at Calvary for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, I believe Nate shared about fellowship, and I was able to talk to Nate the other day and just kind of get more feedback from him on what he shared on fellowship. And it's really neat because this morning we're going to kind of do an extension of that, extension of what Nate talked about when it comes to fellowship. And we know that fellowship can be in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And this morning we're going to be looking at the topic of discipleship, the topic of discipleship. But I think it's such an important topic in the assemblies. I think this is something where I've been praying for so long for us to grow in more, is this topic of discipleship. And also evangelism. And so if we can look at Matthew chapter 28, if we can just read this text here in Matthew 28, which we all know the context. We see here that Christ rose from the grave, and now he was approaching the disciples and giving them these precious words to them to show them and to realize the importance of the final calling he was to give his disciples. So let's read Matthew chapter 28. We'll start reading in verse 16. It says this: "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" Amen. Before we even get into the topic of what discipleship is, I wanted to ask a question this morning. What is a true disciple? And I started asking myself that question too as I was thinking about discipleship. And discipleship has been something I've been thinking about for a long time. But what is a true disciple? And I want to share that with you this morning. A true disciple is, some reasons that I came up with, a committed learner and follower of Jesus at all cost. I was listening to a sermon by Bob Conway, and I love what he said about what a true disciple is. A true disciple is an active learner, not a passive learner. A learner who lives to learn and learns to live. If we can go to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. John chapter 8. I love what we've been hearing about the last couple of weeks. We've been kind of hearing a theme of the importance of the Word of God. And John chapter 8 also reminds us that a true disciple is prepared in the Word of God. John chapter 8, we can turn there. Verses 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" This morning, I want to share just an example, kind of a testimony of you know, when I first started walking with the Lord, a lot of you know my testimony. A lot of you know when I gave my life to Christ. But when I first gave my life to the Lord Jesus, I still remember learning how important the Word of God is. One of the things I want to say this morning is I am so thankful for every single one of you. You know, discipleship is not just with a one-on-one occasion with a person, but it's discipleship is something that's built up within a church, isn't it? As a church, we disciple each other. As a church, we live a life of discipleship. And one thing I want to say this morning is I want to thank every single one of you this morning because all of you have had an impact in my life in discipleship. And what a joy we can remember this morning that we as well have an impact in the lives of others here in the assembly. And I'll talk a little bit more about personal things of how God really worked in my life through all of you. Many of you know I didn't grow up in a Christian church. I didn't have those opportunities to grow up in Sunday school. You know, when I was 15 years old and heard about David and Goliath, I was like, wow, that is awesome. That is great. When I heard stories about Elijah, when I heard stories about all the those amazing stories in the Old Testament, for me, it was like, it was exciting. It was something that was so refreshing for me. But discipleship has everything to do with all of us as a church, and we do it together as a team. But it's also very vital, and it's also very important that discipleship takes place between a person one-on-one. So we're going to talk about that too this morning. But yes, what is a true disciple? It's a committed learner and follower of Jesus at all costs. It's someone who abides in the Word of God. And, you know, I praise God for individuals that called me out, individuals that taught me what it means to be a true disciple. I still remember when I first became a believer in the Lord Jesus, and I still remember coming here to Fifth Avenue Chapel and just learning what it means to follow Jesus. It was great. I was really praying on, I was really praying about how to understand how to follow Christ. And I still remember Mr. Cagliostro coming up to me one day, goes, Diego, do you want to go to Greenwood Hills? And I said, what's that? It's a Bible camp. What's a Bible camp? It's like, you know, it's a place where you can grow in the things of the Lord. And praise God, I went to Summer Congress as a new believer in the Lord Jesus. And the theme that week was from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word so that you may grow in your salvation and taste that the Lord is gracious. For a long time, I didn't know why, what was the importance of God's Word. But that week, I learned how important it is to abide in the Word of God. And even now as a parent, I know a lot of us here, we understand how a baby feels when he wants his milk, you know. I still remember with little Diego and just learning the process of, you know, his desire for milk. I just remember Diego would just get up and just scream and just cry and just, ah, you just see his face. He just wants something. And then my wife comes over and gives him the milk and then he's just so calm. He's so at peace. He's enjoying that milk. And so when I was, learning about my relationship with God and I started looking at Diego and I started looking at his desire to have that milk, it reminded me, wow. It reminded me of what I've learned at Greenwood Hills as a new believer when I was desiring the pure milk of the Word of God. And so John 8:31-32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A true disciple is someone who completely surrenders everything to Christ, takes up his cross daily. Christ is before all persons and daily interests in all things. A true disciple of Christ is someone who loves his brethren. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. In the past, I've struggled, you know, to love sometimes other individuals. Sometimes I'll say, I love them, but I don't like them. But that's not what Christ has called us to do. He wants us to love each other. And that love is possible. It is possible, to love every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. For some time, I always thought it wasn't, but it is. It is possible to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, when people walk through those doors, one of the first things they observe is the way we interact with one another and how we treat one another and the unity that we have with one another. And I think that's an important thing. On my job at Easter Seals, I had a good friend named Matt, and he's a believer in the Lord, and people noticed the kind of relationship we had with one another. Every single day, we would talk about the Word of God, and we would encourage each other. And till this day, we have a great friendship, and people noticed these things. So John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Another point to what a true discipleship is, he's a reproducer, a multiplier of disciples. A true disciple is a disciple maker, right? And in Matthew chapter 20, we just read that Jesus gave this proclamation, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say go and make converts of all nations. He says go and make disciples of all nations. He's called us to be disciple makers, to be reproducers, to be a multiplier of disciples. And discipleship is something very important. And I'm going to do something at the end today that's kind of different. We're going to spend some time at the end, and I'm going to ask you to pray silently for someone that you can pray about discipling. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. But so what is a true disciple? And there's a lot more things we can talk about. But before we get into the topic of what discipleship is, I really felt the need to talk about also what it means to be a true disciple. And I remember we covered this too in our night classes here a long time ago as well. And one of the questions that was asked, are all Christians disciples? I want to ask that question this morning. Are all Christians disciples? And 1 Corinthians, we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you can read verses 1 to 3. I guess you can also give me your input on that afterwards too. For a long time, I struggled when I read the book of Revelation and I read about the lukewarm individual. I've always thought that it's impossible for a Christian to be lukewarm. That was a challenge to me for a long time. And then I realized that I was wrong in that assumption. And we can look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, which says this, but I, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So here we see that Paul's addressing a group of people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in reality aren't living up to that calling of being a disciple for the Lord Jesus. They're called infants in Christ. He say calls them brothers in the first part of the passage. And he also reminds them that they're not ready for the solid food that they're supposed to be having. They're struggling with that. And of course, his prayers for them to get out of that. And so one thing I want to ask everyone this morning is, how are we doing in our relationship with God as far as being that true disciple for him? And I confess this morning that I struggled with that. For the past couple of years, I've had my ups and downs as a Christian. There's times that I wasn't walking faithfully with God. There was times that I allowed the flesh to get in the way of my relationship with God, and it really brought a lot of destruction in my life with Christ. And so, but I praise God that he took me out of that. And of course, our desire and our prayer is to see those individuals get out of that relationship and really have a true disciple relationship with Christ. I looked up a quote from A.W. Tozer that really spoke out to me. He says this, only a disciple can make a disciple. Only a disciple can make a disciple. And I read also here a statistic. Many Christians and churches from Winfield Bevins, many Christian churches will never reproduce themselves. The result is that they take their faith and legacy with them to the grave. Nearly 4,000 churches close every year in North America. There's estimates that 70 to 80% of all evangelical churches in the U.S. have either stopped growing or on decline. What does this mean? Simple. The church in North America is not reproducing. We need to become a reproducing disciple making movement once again. So here we can see the importance that discipleship is in the church. It really makes a huge impact in the life of a local assembly. It really makes a huge impact in the life of all believers. Discipleship is so, so important. And I thank God that I had those opportunities of discipleship in my walk with Christ. I still remember, I don't know if you remember Mr. Risen, but on Thursdays, you know, on Thursday nights, Mr. Risen made a decision to have Jimmy, myself, and Joey, and Tarek, and I think Damien, and a bunch of others. He met with us once a week and discipled us and encouraged us about the things of the Lord and also challenged us. And that made a huge impact in my life with Christ. It really did. It really did. It was so special to have that weekly gathering to talk about life, to talk about the things that we were going through. And it really, really challenged me a lot in my faith. And I'm so thankful to see that, you know, Mr. Riddle took that initiative to meet with us. I still remember one Thursday he came up to me and goes, well, you guys are going to preach on a Thursday night. And I have to confess, I was terrified. I wanted to tell Mr. Riz, like, Mr. Riz, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to happen. And, you know, I think Joey, Jimmy, myself, and the others, we were, like, so scared. We were so nervous. And I still remember a couple of weeks before, Joey and I were both speaking kind of close to each other. We met up a couple nights and just really studied the Word of God together. We were, like, sweating. We were so nervous. And we were just talking to each other what we're going to share. And, you know, but, man, that was so precious. It really was a precious time. Discipleship can change lives. Discipleship can make an impact in the life of a believer. And I still remember Mr. Risen also invited me to go share my testimony at different assemblies as well. And that really encouraged me a lot too. I still remember my first time sharing my testimony in public was at FCA, Fellowship for Christian Athletes at Shore Regional. Harry Flaherty, this huge guy. I don't know if you know Harry Flaherty. His hands are like twice the size of my hands. He's just a big, big football player. And one day, you know, he asked me, Diego, you want to share a testimony at FCA? I'm like, Harry, I don't know if I could do it. No, come on, Diego. And he just kept pushing me. He kept challenging me. And you know, I was able to share how Christ changed my life at FCA. So the Lord puts people in your life at different times in your life. And it's really a wonderful thing to see discipleship going on in the life of a believer. Even and also, my time with Camp Safe for Christ, too, was such a beautiful time in discipleship. And that also challenged me a lot. And different individuals discipled me and encouraged me to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. So I want to read another quote from a preacher named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. You know, discipleship is so important. It's so key to for us to grow in the Christian life. And I'm going to share a couple of different personal reasons to why I think discipleship is important. There's so many reasons, but there's a couple of reasons that I thought about. Discipleship, you know, so why is what is discipleship and why is it important? Discipleship is a commitment to teach a believer that the Great Commission proclamation from Christ that we just read earlier. Also, discipleship is not just with friends and other brothers and sisters in Christ that are not related. It also starts in the family with husbands and wives and your children. Discipleship is vital also in the family. We see here that Christ, He demonstrated a perfect model of discipleship. And we see also in Peter and the disciples following alongside of that perfect model of discipleship. You know, one thing that is very important too is, in our culture today, we struggle with time, don't we? Time is so important for us. Time is so precious for us. And yet we see Christ just spending so much time with his disciples. He invested in them. He spent time with them. He went out of his way to be with them. And we see the same example in the life of Paul when he spent time with Timothy and so many others that he mentored. And even the Apostle Paul was discipled. Can you tell me who discipled the Apostle Paul? Who discipled him? Barnabas. Barnabas. When you read the book of Acts and you study the life of Barnabas, that was actually my topic for Thursday night. It was Barnabas. We were studying the companions of the Apostle Paul. And the companion that I chose was Barnabas. And Barnabas went out of his way to find the Apostle Paul and to take him alongside him. And he took him for a year to do ministry. And, you know, and also when the Apostle Paul came to know Christ, all the disciples didn't want to have anything to do with the Apostle Paul. They were afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was the person that he was claiming to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet Barnabas, being the son of encouragement, went over and took Paul along his side. And really taught him the Word of God and encouraged him to continue in ministry. And he made a huge impact in the life of Paul. So discipleship is such a huge blessing and is such a huge thing in the church that we need to be addressing consistently. And even Paul instructs Timothy to do what Christ has called him to do. You don't have to turn there for sake of time. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're soldiers of Christ, amen? And "no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." And one thing is clear too. Not just new believers need discipleship, but all believers need discipleship. You agree with me? We all need discipleship. I still desire that relationship of discipleship with others. And I love to have different individuals that know more about the experience of life to mentor me. And I think discipleship is still important. It's still something that we need, all of us here today. So why is discipleship important? It helps the younger believer grow in the truth and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is discipleship easy? No. Discipleship is a challenge. And sometimes it's so easy to give up and throw the towel on. You know, Lizbeth, when she first gave her life to Christ, in the Venezuelan culture, when I would make appointments to disciple certain men, and it's normal in the culture for them to stand you up. That just happens a lot in the Venezuelan culture. You make appointments with certain Venezuelans and they'll say they'll be there, and you wait and they don't show up. And not to put my wife on the spot, but you know, there was a woman named Alba that loved Lisbeth so much, and Lisbeth stood her up a couple of times. But Alba continued to persevere with Lisbeth, continued to reach out to her and continued to make an effort. And then they ended up meeting together. And, you know, Alba had a huge impact on Lisbeth's life, and they still keep in touch. And she's been a huge blessing. And she had a huge part in discipling Lisbeth and encouraging her in the things of the Lord. So discipleship isn't easy, and we need to continue to persevere. And I've discipled different guys that, you know, had a lot of issues emotionally, had a lot of issues. But that's what disciples is all about. It's a place of trust where you can build strong relationships. So discipleship is important to help younger believers grow in the truth and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even Mike Haynes, I know a lot of you know him. When he gave his life to the Lord Jesus, the first couple of weeks that we had our Bible study, we kind of put on hold our topic of what our Bible studies was about, and we just addressed his questions. That's what we did for the first couple of weeks. And it wasn't easy. Mike had a lot of questions. You know Mike Haynes well. You know what kind of person he's like. But he had a lot of things that he didn't understand still. And we just addressed his questions, and we spent hours and hours at times just addressing a lot of things that he was thinking about. And, you know, you have to be patient, and you have to love unconditionally when you're in discipleship, and you have to persevere. You can't give up. You can't give up. You have to continue to persevere when you're doing discipleship. So it helps the younger believer grow. Also, it creates a safe environment for correction and exhortation. I praise God for men that weren't afraid to tell me as it is. I really am thankful for that. I really am. I still remember with Camps Crusade for Christ, when we had one of my leaders, his name was Jason. I might have shared this here before, but I don't know if I have. But throughout the month and a half, I didn't notice that he was observing everything I was doing. I didn't notice that he was observing how I acted, how I treated others, or, you know. And when I first became a Christian, I was very close-minded. I've always, you know, Camps Crusade is an interdenominational organization, right? And not everybody holds to what you believe. Not everybody agrees with what you believe. But for me, certain ways were that way. Like I had, like there was no other way but that way. And, you know, he observed me for that whole time. And at the end of our trip, he met with us, my friend Jason, and my discipler, which his name was Jason too. And he came up to us. He goes, "I have a pamphlet here." And he opened the pamphlet and he had my name on it. And I was like, "Oh, that's weird." And then he had a pamphlet with my friend Jason also. He had a pamphlet with his name on it. And he started opening it. And he started reading, "Diego, I'm going to start off with you." And he started reading a list of things that he appreciated about. I was like, "Oh, this feels good." I was like, "Wow, he's like talking about, Diego, you have a heart for evangelism. Diego, you have a heart, you have a conviction for God's word. Diego, you know, you're," and I was like, "Wow, it's like, this is nice. Like, I'm enjoying this." And he goes, then he turns over the pamphlet and there's like another list. It was really long. I'm just like, "All right, what is that list about?" He goes, "Diego," and he went down a list of, I think you're very prideful in a lot of areas of your life. Good list. Like, I was enjoying that. Like, why did you change? You know, I noticed that, you know, and he started going down a list of different areas of my life that he observed that I needed to improve in. And I was so thankful for that. At first I was angry. At first I was upset. I went to my room. "He's wrong. You know, he's not right. That's not true." And then as I sat on my bed, I just, you know, you sense the Lord saying, he's right. Like, all those things about you need to change, Diego. All those things you need to grow in. All those things you need to start thinking about. So discipleship creates a safe environment for correction an exhortation. And I, you know, and there's also, even here at Fifth Avenue, I've had different individuals come up to me and correct me and tell me, Diego, this is not maybe the best way to do it. And I thank God for that. And they did it in such a way where it was a wonderful thing for me to think about. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the scriptures and discipleship is reaffirmed in correcting us and reproofing us and instructing us and to help us to become complete. And it's a great thing to have a mentor help you in that thing. Also, discipleship is a great place where also when you're meeting with somebody one-to-one, it's a safe place for them to confess their sin, to talk about the struggles that they're going through. I'm not going to mention names, but there was opportunities that I've had with individuals that we all know, or you might know, or you might grow up with, that you think they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But then as you meet with them and as you talk to them, you start finding out what they truly believe. I think discipleship is also a great place where you can dig deeper to understanding what someone believes, what someone understands about the scriptures. I know in Venezuela, when we were doing our Bible study with the church that Lisbeth and I were a part of, we started having different discipleship groups and talking about different topics, that, you know, eternal security and all these things. And I started finding out that a lot of believers didn't really understand the topic of eternal security or different topics that many of us, think about on a consistent basis. And so discipleship is also a place where we can learn about what we believe and also we can challenge each other. And like I said, discipleship, it happens in different environments. It can happen with one-on-one appointments that you can make with individuals. It can happen in Bible studies. It can happen in your relationship with other individuals as you meet with them and as you get to know them. I know in our men's Bible study, we've had a lot of strong discussions, but it really strengthened us in our faith, and it really helped us to really understand why we believe what we believe. Does that make sense? And so discipleship is also an opportunity for that to happen as well. And also discipleship is a great place for individuals that aren't sure about things to talk to you about. I remember a long time ago, I had a student in Venezuela ask me a question like, Diego, is it okay if I kiss my girlfriend or something like that? And these are great places that you can talk about these topics that sometimes people aren't comfortable talking about, you know, when you just meet somebody, you run through somebody on a church service. But, you know, discipleship is a place where you can grow and build those relations with individuals and talk about those topics that you're sometimes afraid to talk about. And so it's a place for confession and restoration. And, you know, even in Venezuela, there were students that I met with, and there was things that they were struggling with for a long time, and they didn't want to talk about it with anybody. But in times of discipleship, they were able to open up about struggles that they were having. It was a great time for restoration, confession. Also, discipleship goes both ways. It's not just that the mentor teaches the disciple and the disciple just learns. That's not right at all. You learn together. You grow together. I want to tell you something. Mike Haynes has taught me a lot about the Lord. He really has. You know, and he reminded me about my passion that I've forgotten about in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Even meeting with Dan Crawford and just getting to know him. Dan has taught me so much about the Word of God. Like, I feel like I've learned more from him than he's probably learned from me. And so discipleship goes both ways. You grow together. You learn together. You find out about things together. And it's a beautiful relationship. And as, like I said, as Nate talked about fellowship, discipleship is another form, I believe, of that kind of fellowship that you can have with one another. And just encouraging each other to be under the sound of God's word. And also, it's a place for exhortation. It's a place to reproof. And, you know, there's times that I've had to meet with different individuals that were thinking of dating someone that didn't know the Lord. So discipleship is a great place where you can talk about different topics that sometimes you wouldn't talk about when you hang out here at church where you're going through services. But it's a great place to talk about different topics to understand. It's open opportunity to learn what individuals' beliefs are, as I mentioned earlier, and it's a great thing. So it's a great thing to have those opportunities for discipleship. And the purpose of discipleship is to enjoy the blessing of seeing a believer grow in his walk with the Lord, to become a mature follower of Christ. And that's your desire, is to see that individual flourish for the Lord Jesus Christ, see that individual mature for the Lord Jesus, and to see that person be prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Discipleship is exciting. Discipleship isn't easy, that's true, but it's exciting. And it's a joy, and it's a blessing, and you both grow, and there's so many benefits to discipleship. And you never know what kind of impact you might make on one person's life. Does anybody know who Mr. Fanus is? Fanus? Does anybody know? I was talking to Nate the other day, and he said, "Oh, maybe Fifth Avenue, maybe they might know who she is." But she was a lady that was, I believe, a part of his assembly, and Nate was talking to her and said, "Oh, I was listening to a preacher named Michael Youssef. Do you know who that? Does anyone know who that is? Michael Youssef, a tremendous man of God, and I've heard a lot of his sermons. I've been very encouraged by his ministry. And one of the things that Mrs. Fanus, I don't know if I'm saying her name right. Does anybody know who she is? Do you know who she is? Fanus or something like that. She told Nate, my husband discipled him. My husband taught him the Word of God and shared about the Lord with him." And her husband had an impact of discipleship in the life of Michael Youssef. And that's incredible. Discipleship is so vital to the Christian life. And I have a strong conviction. I would say whoever I share the gospel with, as long as God gave me the strength to do it, I make a lifetime commitment to disciple that person. That's been a conviction that I've held on to for a long time. And I was told Mike Haynes this. And Mike, you're never getting rid of me. You know that, right? He's like, "What do you mean, Diego?" He's like, "Why are you saying that?" I say, "No matter what, you know, I want to be there as much as I can for you." And so evangelism, sharing the gospel, seeing people come to Christ are great things. But follow-up is so important. Discipleship is so important. And to see that individual continue to grow in the things of the Lord is so important. And so in closing, I want to ask a question. There could be a one that is designed to mentor someone that might be asking, "Where do I start to make disciples of all nations?" Or the disciple could be asking, "Who should mentor me?" And this morning, I want to challenge all of you to take a first step. I want you to start praying about discipling someone. And also, the ones who haven't, all of us also should be praying for individuals to mentor us as well. So take it, and also the second point I want to say is take a step of faith and reach out to someone. Challenge somebody. If you see somebody that you really admire and that you have you can see a connection with them, approach them, say, "You know what? I would love for you to mentor me, you know, to meet with me, to spend time with me." And discipleship is really a great thing. And you know, Jesus, you know, when we look at the life of Christ, he did call many to follow him, but there was also times where many, said to Jesus, "Can I follow you? Can I be with you? Like, can I stay with you?" And Jesus said, "Yes, come." When we think of John the Baptist and his two disciples, and they saw the Lord Jesus, they wanted to follow Christ, and they did. But then also Jesus also asked many to come follow him. And so discipleship is very, very important. And so I want to encourage you this morning to think about this and to really think about individuals in your life that maybe you can reach out to and disciple them and teach them the Word of God, or ask somebody to mentor you and to encourage you in the things of the Lord. And so discipleship, it's a huge blessing, and it's really encouraged me in my walk with Christ, and I think it's very important for us to pray about these things, to think about it. So I hope this was an encouragement this morning. Like I said, there's a lot more things I wanted to share, but you know, those are just some of the things. But a disciple, only a disciple can make a disciple. May we be praying that we are living that life of true discipleship, you know, being falling in love with the Lord Jesus, and really just making that effort to be in his presence daily. And to really think about the importance of disciples. You never know, once again, the kind of impact you can make in a person's life, or the kind of impact they can make in your life. And like I said, through discipleship has been a huge blessing for me. I still remember my director for Camp Safe for Christ, Keith Onishi. I know Mr. Risen knows him. When we got together with the ministry and all the men that were full-time staff, we got together to talk about all the men in the movement, meaning all the guys that we had contact with through the ministry. And I remember the director for Camps Crusade said he got a list, and he said to us all, he said, "I want all of you to write down the names of all the men that are part of the ministry. I want you right now to write all their names down." And we all started getting our paper and pens out. We started writing down different, like, list of different names. And after we finish doing that, he goes, I want us to start spending time in prayer right now for these individuals. And then I want you to start praying about spending time with those individuals and reaching out to them and starting that process of discipleship. And so, you know, I love the vision for Camps Crusade is win people for Christ, build them up in their faith, and send them out. Win, build, and send. And I'm going to talk about that tonight when I share about Venezuela. But discipleship is a chain that just keeps going and going and going. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Like I said, I've seen, you know, different individuals that I've met with that disciple. Now they want to do certain things. It just keeps going. It's a chain of continuing discipleship. And that's so important in the church. So my prayer is that we become a reproducing church, that we become multipliers of disciples. And so I hope and pray this was an encouragement to all of you and maybe consider discipleship. And I want to take some time. If we can all just spend maybe like 20 seconds right now, just on your seats. I know it's something different, but just pray right now. I want you to pray right now for an opportunity to maybe disciple somebody, an opportunity to maybe mentor somebody, or maybe pray right now for an opportunity to reach out to somebody to mentor you. Like I said, discipleship is a great thing, and it's really a huge blessing to help us to grow in our faith with Christ. So give me like 20 seconds.